Welcome in to the Late Night Gamecock Show. As you can see, we have a surprise. JC Sherbert of thebigspur.com, of the Chief Sports Network, of everything on Chief Sports Network that you see pretty much every day, two shows a day is here. Alex Jones of thebigspur.com. Obviously, I am Matt Anderson, the Late Night Gamecock. And I thought it'd be cool, guys, to be a little bit late to the show, just like Landon Duckworth with this NIL. But we'll talk about that. We'll get to everything. Happy to have everybody here. It is National Signing Day. I know National Signing Day has a little bit less luster now with the transfer portal, and especially coming off a 4-8 season for the Gamecocks. There are a lot more questions than there are answers. But, hey, at least the Gamecocks got 13 if you count who Shane talked about today in his press conference. 13 new players coming in. As Shane mentioned in the press conference today, they are still over the 85 scholarship limit. There is going to be attrition. We might get to it tonight. But we're going to talk about each one of these players in depth. We're going to have a roundtable conversation, which, look, if I have Alex Jones and I have JC Sherbert here, I'm just going to shut up and listen. And then if they forget something, I'll say it. But I'm excited to have them here. I think this is a really good class. Shane Beamer's not lying when he says that it is a top 10 class from a star ranking, from a composite rating. They brought in a lot of good players. They're increasing the blue chip ratio, whatever that means nowadays in NCAA football and Gamecock football. But when you get more good players than three stars, hey, you know, it works out. But as JC says, a three-star isn't a crappy player. So that is something that JC will make sure we don't get twisted. We're going to have Justin Lyles in from SportsCap Value. We're going to break down this conference championship weekend. A lot of good games. Well, almost a lot of good games. We still have the ACC game that we're going to talk about. We'll break that one down as well. But guys and gals, we're so excited to have you here for the Late Night Gamecock Show. We'll be right back.
Gonna turn on the late night show. Hear what's going down in Cooltown. I said I'm turning on late night show. Yeah, my cocks will let me down.
Well, welcome back into the Late Night Gamecock Show again. I am Matt Anderson, joined tonight by Alex Jones of thebigspur.com and JC Sherbert, the godfather of Gamecock football. You see how big his head is? He has a lot of knowledge in there. We're going to pull all of it out tonight. Really quick, yeah, the men's team had a basketball game last night. No, I don't want to talk about it, but I will. The basketball team dropped 86-83 in overtime last night to Virginia Tech. So looking at it, the Gamecocks have played three teams of consequence, lost by three in overtime to Virginia Tech, lost by two at the buzzer Northwestern, essentially, and then lost by seven or eight to Butler. All of those teams are good teams, and I try to encourage people to understand that basketball is a game of possessions and a game of runs. You want to have the best run in the game, and you want to have the last run in the game, and the Gamecocks have not done that throughout this season. Lamont Parrish is still working with a lot of guys that weren't on the team last year. So SEC is not going to be easier. Clemson in a week and a half is not going to be easier, but they got to start finding some wins that don't come against the Charleston Southerns of the world. And I say that lovingly. I love Charleston Southern, but this is not the night to talk about it. Today we're going to talk about National Signing Day. So off the cuff, Alex, no disrespect, I'm going to start with JC. JC, you've covered a lot of National Signing Days. How does this one rank in Gamecock history?
Oh, well, not a lot of drama either way. It's kind of like signing day is a lot like election day. If you work in politics at all, because you're you are basically doing a lot of campaigning leading up to a group of people making a decision on a day, right? Commitments are kind of like mail-in ballots that you can change at any time.
Well, it's also like convincing 18 to 22 year olds to vote your way.
Yeah, it's hard. when you work in recruiting, that's kind of like election day. You ask anybody that works in politics, they're crazy busy on election night. And that's the case with the local media members, media in general, and all that. So signing day is kind of like that. Now it used to be the first Wednesday in February. So January was very busy. I'm actually I kind of miss the activity in January, especially from where I stand and what I do now with just one team, because as you mentioned, men's basketball, yeah, that season may be in the tank by mid-January. So what are you supposed to do? Talk about, oh, hopefully they're good in baseball, or spring practice is not going to have as much anticipation as maybe last year. So I'm kind of glad about that. But this year it's like super early. This is usually like the week between rivalry weekend and conference championship week. It's usually all about coaching changes. And then the coaches used to be able to be on the road and go to state championship games. So there's since the early signing period came along, there's more about maybe in-home visits with current class guys. And then they start on the next class. As it stands now, January is going to be really, again, digging into the next class. And also transfer portal palooza. So we'll get some activity back in January with the transfer portal. I mean, that's going to be a full month. But, as far as, a Gamecock signing day, there was some hope out there that maybe Carson Baker would come Carolina's way. That didn't happen. That turned into just a bidding war behind the scenes. I don't know enough about what the other schools like A&M were offering him to know if, he's one that's good enough. If it was close, maybe I'd up the ante, but, running backs don't have a huge position value. There's a hole in the roster there right now. They're going to have to hit the portal for, Julian Walker's decision comes tomorrow. We'll see what happens there. I'm not getting my hopes up about that, but maybe I just want to be pleasantly surprised. But he did put it off, has not made a decision as of now. And I think South Carolina's in it. I think I've heard some North Carolina talk with them too, as well as Michigan, who he's committed to. That would be big to get him back in the fold, because you always want in-state guys. But, it ranks as one of the more, I guess, quiet signing days. Last year they flipped guys late. They got some flips. And, gosh, I think in that class, Alex, I mean, all total, the whole cycle, they had about five guys flip into the class.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not a very big class, but it is a class that quality-wise certainly is there. I was just kind of sketching out some of the guys I think could contribute early. There's not a lot of them numbers-wise, but, Carolina doesn't have a whole lot of room right now. It was a young football team as far as percentage of roster goes, so you're not going to sign a big class in that case. They did miss on some guys. Tamarion Watkins still is one. I said when it looked like he was a lock for Carolina, he would be the one I would hate to lose. And, yeah, sure enough, they lost him to Texas A&M. But we'll see how that turns out. But, hey, you got the number one player in Virginia. You got how many top 10 players from North Carolina? The number one player from South Carolina. You got two elite offensive linemen again. And some really nice under-the-radar guys as well. So I think it's a successful class, all things considered.
Yeah, I think that it's kind of weird because, JC, I cut my teeth with you, back in the day, the early 2000s, the late 1990s, and it was that February signing day, and you had all the All-Star games, right? Where the All-Star games, I swear, man, tell me if I'm wrong, JC, but the All-Star games flipped at least three or four guys a year when they were around other guys that were going to go to a school. I see you nodding your head. You agree with me. But, it's one of those things where look, love it, hate it, it doesn't matter. Shane Beamer was honest about this. You know, like they signed the guys that they thought they were going to sign. Every press conference, I mean, really probably since LSU or before, he was talking to this signing day class. And he just explained everything he said probably privately, that we're close, we need you guys. But it is a class that's going to be heavy on the portal. We're going to go player by player here just in just a moment. But I did want to ask you, Alex, you know, Shane had his press conference today. And one of the things that stuck out to me was the need for offensive linemen in the portal, the need for defensive tackles in the portal, the fact that they only have three running backs that are scholarship on the roster. So, you know, Alex, I guess I say when you look at the portal and you hear what Shane said today, he's had conversations with people that probably aren't going to be on the team next year. And they made that decision. It was good for the program, good for them to go somewhere else. I don't want to get into numbers, how many kids are going to transfer. I've already told y'all it's going to be 15 to 25 a year for the foreseeable future. Get used to it. Don't fall in love with a player that hasn't shown you anything on the field yet. They might do it somewhere else, but if they haven't done it in South Carolina, don't worry too much. So, Alex, just overall feel for the presser before we get into the player-by-player analysis in this class.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the more interesting things he discussed today when kind of asked about what the portal needs going to be for South Carolina. And I mean, he was pretty adamant, O-line, D-line. Like, that's going to be – line of scrimmage is going to be key. And you can see why, like, you know, you need – especially on that D-line, you got these, you know, freshmen coming in. But you know, I think those two can give you some stuff there. But you're still going to have, like, a guy like Gabe Brownlow, Dendy Beck. But just from a number standpoint, you may need to get from a starter standpoint. But from a depth standpoint, you need to continue building there. And then just from an offensive line standpoint, it almost feels like you can never have enough offensive linemen. South kind of seen that in the past few years, whether it be with injury or whatnot. But you know, I'm just wondering, just from an offensive line standpoint, I think you build it from depth, but I think you also try to see if you can bring in some guys who could, you know, come in and start right away too, just because you know, it's going to be dependent on the offensive line coach and things like that. But you know, the line of scrimmage is going to be a heavy portal kind of target for South kind of, along with some of these other positions. Like, I'm sure we'll get into quarterback at some point, because with or without Lenora Sellers at South County, you're still going to think you're going to need one, maybe at least. And that's depending on to see what Landon Duckworth ends up doing too. So, I, you know, when you look at the roster, I think you have to agree with Shane Beaver. The line of scrimmage is definitely a way to go.
Yeah, and look, like JC mentioned, the end of December through January, through at least through January 16th, we're going to be talking a lot about the portal. We're not going to get into that too much. We've had one player, Nick Sharp, who has gone into the transfer portal. I don't know if there's anybody else outside of Michael Smith that's into the portal, but there's going to be more names. They're doing the exit interviews this week. All that's going to fall out. But today, let's talk about National Signing Day. Y'all can kind of do this however you want. Like, I think I'll just start with JC and then go to you, Alex, and then I'll come back and tie this up. But Darius Gray, 6'3", 285 pounds, out of Richmond, Virginia, five-star offensive lineman. For my money, could be a five-star defensive lineman as well. Another five-star for Shane Beamer out of state. That's been Shane Beamer's motto, and you go into Virginia and get a five-star. Look, he might not be Jadeveon Clowney, but from an impact standpoint, it's a huge statement. You got it. The offensive line was the biggest issue this year. So, JC, what do you like about Darius Gray? And then we'll move to you, Alex.
Probably the most athletic interior guy they've signed since AJ Cann. AJ Cann probably as a recruit would have been a poor man's Darius Gray, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because AJ was extremely athletic. Darius is a little more filled out. Beamer's right about basketball. I've seen some clips. He's unbelievable for a guy his size. I mean, he could play all five positions on the line at the college level. Long term, he's a guard in the NFL. Probably, if he stays healthy and develops, will have a long career. And he's one I could see starting next year, just because, you know, the O-line in general is just all cattywampus. They're going to try to retool that room to a certain extent. Beamer talked about it a little bit. And so sometimes when you do that, you got a freshman that's not really a freshman. He's your best guy.
Yeah.
You know, not because people have dropped the ball developing the other guys, kind of like we've seen happen at times around here. But I think he could, you know, definitely start next season as long as things go well moving forward with development and, you know, all staying injury free, things like that.
Yeah, when you see guys like Darius Gray, who can play basketball the way he is, as an offensive lineman at 6'3", 275, whatever he's listed at, like that shows you his athleticism, his explosiveness, and you know, that's just a footwork standpoint too, guys. You know, when you're pulling as a guard or things like that, you know, basketball shows that you can do that. And you know, he's a guy just from a recruitment standpoint. You know, South Carolina got him in the boat, and then never really wavered. He was locked in with South Carolina as long as Shane Beamer. So you know, I think just from with this offensive line, and we'll get to Zion guys in a minute, but you know, both of those guys have really good versatility. Guys that can play guard, guys that can play tackle. Darius Gray can do that. Like I think you can see him start on the interior of the offensive line. But you know, I think if you had to, a guy like Shed Surratt, you saw him play out on that tackle too. So I think both of those guys can do that. But just sticking with Gray right now, I really like his versatility.
I do too, and you know, I think this is the kind of guy that you can line up at right guard or left guard, wherever mm-hmm. tackle might be weak next year, and you know the guy next to you is solid. And that's what helped Josiah Thompson a lot last year, having a guy to his right that was solid. And look, for everything with Josiah Thompson this year, I do think that Darius Gray has a great opportunity to start. So just, hey, man, tipping my cap to Shane Beamer. That's a player that he was not lying in his press conference. Everybody wanted that kid. Five-star, mm-hmm. kept consistently moved up in the rankings. So happy the Gamecocks got him. The next guy is Jazavion Currents from South Point, Rock Hill, South Carolina. We all know Rock Hill has been really good to the Gamecocks over the years. JC, you can speak to that more than anybody else. But this is a safety, 6'3.5", 205 pounds, ranked number 74 overall in the country. I mean, this is the guy that Shane Beamer said has the it factor. So, JC, what do you like about Jazavion?
He's another high-floor guy I could see starting next year. I'm not guaranteeing that, but another high floor guy, but, you know, just like Darius Gray, they've been recruiting him since he was a freshman. They've been recruiting Currents since that too. He's a plus size safety, 6'3", about 218, 220, and a great football player, like a guy that, you know, Jaden Sellers obviously is a different, I mean, he's scrawnier, quicker, wiry receiver, and this guy's a big safety in the mold of a Nick Emanuore type. But one of the things you love about Jaden Sellers is great football player. You know, on the high school field, he's a warrior, did a lot of different things. That's Currents. I saw a lot of things out of him, you know, as far as coverage goes, with some camp film, all-star game film, just film, ultra athletic. Didn't really get a sense of how physical he could play, but I'm Alex may know more than me there. I think that's very important at safety, especially when you're talking about SEC play and teams that want to run the ball. But you know, I look at the group at safety now, and there's some potential there and some players I really like. But I don't know if they're going to be better than Currents in year one right now. Some would have to take a step forward. So I think the world number one player in South Carolina, man, you always want to get that guy right.
Yeah, I you know, from a physicality standpoint, I don't think that's something you have to worry about with him. He's shown that he can come up into the box and run standpoints and make hits. You know, I think if you're trying to rank guys from who could be instant impact type of guys as a freshman, I think he's going to be up there. Just whether that be – I think he could be a dynamic special teams player early on as a freshman, whether it be as a gunner or something like that. But you see freshmen on all the time on special teams in South Con. So I think that's him. But, you know, when you think about that safety spot next year, you're losing DQ Smith. Like, you got Kendall Daniels back there. When you think about Jazavion Currents and Kendall Daniels, that's two very big, long, tall safeties that, you know, kind of remind you of Nick Emanuore. Like, Kendall Daniels got a lot of time on special teams this year, and I think he's got a chance to be really good too. But throw Currents in there. You know, when you look at him from a high school standpoint, you know, you'd like to see the way I just describe him, he's a ball player because he's a guy that he's done it on the offensive side for South Carolina too, shows off his athleticism, or for South Point, shows off his athleticism playing quarterback, had a really good year playing quarterback for South Point. So a guy that could just do it all. And wanted to bring up a quick comment real quick because Steven asked, just, you know, any freshman that can bring some type of leadership, you know, Currents can be up there right on top of that. There's a few guys I think can bring some leadership things, either whether it be for a freshman or later in their career, but you know, Currents is definitely going to be one of those guys. And you know, for South Carolina, it feels like they've been recruiting this Jazavion for a long, long time. Just his recruitment started really early and finally got the signature today. But really, really good player. And you can see he's lived up to that ranking. And interested to see him this weekend, South Point, South Florence, play in the state championship game.
Yeah, first off, go Bruins. Love you, Jazavion, but go Bruins. Which is, Davion, I saw a question that Cam asked, does Kearns grow into a linebacker? Maybe, but at the same time, like when you have a kid with his athleticism, his height, you kind of want him back in the secondary as long as he can be there to cover ground. I'm going to hit both these guys.
I remember people tried to move. They tried to move Nkeem and Warren to linebacker.
Yeah, and look at Nkeem Warren. He's going to be an all-rookie.
Yeah, so.
I'm going to hit both these guys at the same time because they're brothers. You have Aiden and Andrew Harris. Aiden, 6'3", 245 pounds, 123rd in the country. And then you drop down to Andrew, 6'2", 235 pounds. Not ranked as a top 500 guy, but a three-star. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I like these two brothers a lot. I think that they can bring maybe some of that those Lindsay twins leadership. But I'll shut up and let y'all talk, JC.
Aiden will remind you a little bit of Nkeem Nwore. He's a little bit more chopped up, like sawed off, kind of muscular dude. The Tonka. Did I say Nkeem Nwore? I meant Tonka.
Yeah, anyway. I think he meant Tonka.
Oh, my dear sweet brother Noobsy. It's late.
It's late night.
For me. It's late for me.
Yeah.
Tonka Hemingway. Tonka. Jeez. He's a little more sawed off than Tonka, but Tonka coming out of high school played three different sports. He'd always lose a bunch of weight to play basketball and baseball and then gain it back and all that. Once he filled out, obviously. But he's that athletic playmaker, pass rusher guy at defensive tackle. I have him in category two for me in this class, which is like possible to probable too deep. Just because he's naturally strong, and he made a ton of plays for a D tackle at the high school level.
Yeah.
Andrew Harris, his brother, very physical, a guy that I think could be really good on special teams, athletic enough, sort of twitchy sometimes, reminds me of Brad Johnson when he came out of Pendleton quite a bit.
That's a good comp. That's a really good comp.
Now, Brad played nose tackle at Pendleton, so he had a little bit more of a transition to make that linebacker. But Andrew's kind of that same guy, explosiveness, playmaking ability, that kind of guy.
Yeah, I thought, one of the more interesting things today, Southcon, whenever they announced these signings, they kind of released their height and weights and things on these Twitter, announcements. And, 24/7 has Aiden listed at 6'3", 245. Southcon listed him at 6'3", 275 today, which I thought –
big difference.
Yeah, with the way he moves, too, on his film, and JC mentioned this, this guy can move really well for his size. And there's another defensive tackle in this class. I think, we're both going to say the exact same thing about here pretty soon. But Aiden, you look at production from a production standpoint, his stats are off the charts, he and Andrew, really. But Aiden, he's a guy that I think, I kind of agree with JC, could be a guy who work into the two deep, but just a kind of seems like a Travion Robertson type of guy that you're looking for. And, Shane Beamer mentioned this today in his press conference. They really try to get more into North Carolina, and these two guys were key in that, and they had a really good class from the North Carolina cycle. But Aiden Harris, I think you just have to love the film that you see from him. Guy that can get really east to west, north south really quickly. And just for that size, 275 really stood out, because when you see it on film, like, man, that he has the frame to continue adding muscle, and you have to imagine that speed is going to stay there.
Yeah, man. Matthew Sellerson here has a really good comment. He ate a lot of Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah, he did tip the scales at 275. Man,
that's why you don't mess. Recruiting, we don't always update the database. With senior weights at 24/7,
it's hard to get.
I told recruits, because everybody wanted their eighth graders in there. I'm like, if you put your eighth grader in here, he's gonna be 5'11, 153 in a defensive end. That's gonna follow him around. He's not gonna get on any list. I'm like, don't rush it, Johnny McParrenson. Who the hell's gonna recruit a 5'11, 153 pound linebacker? And our defensive end, and that follows them around a little bit. Aiden Harris was on the radar early, so he was probably listed at 235 because that's what he was. He doesn't look 245 right now. If he's a big old boy, and I think if he can get to about 290 next year, that two deep thing, because he got that natural strength. So does his brother. Yeah. I like these guys a lot.
I like natural strength a lot, and I see. Damian asked, so no Carson Baker tomorrow for Gamecocks? Probably not. I wouldn't get your hopes up, but
Beamer said straight up they're not signing a high school running back in the press conference. So,
and Shane said today, But Alex mentioned North Carolina. Shane mentioned it today. Alex, I mean, JC, you've talked about getting North Carolina for a while now. Noah Clark, 6'4", 345, 132 ranked player in the country. He might have gained more than 325 pounds at Thanksgiving. He's a kid, JC, that, and you've talked about this for a while. You know, sometimes you have a little bit of baby fat on you, and you're just more, you're bigger, you're more athletic than the guys in front of you in high school. But when you get in that strength and conditioning program at South Carolina, this is a guy I can see at 310, 315, and all that baby fat's going to melt off. But this guy actually is my sleeper in the class, which it sounds weird to say a four-star is a sleeper. But at the same time, there's nothing but four stars in this class pretty much. So, JC, thoughts on Noah Clark?
Guys like this, as long as they get with the program and develop, they're tremendously gifted athletically.
Yeah.
I said on coffee, I think, this morning, I hated to compare him to Dexter Lawrence because, you know, they're from kind of that same area, North Carolina. Dexter Lawrence is one of the best defensive tackles I've ever seen. You know, what he did as a freshman at Clemson, that guy was a monster from the get-go. So I don't want to – that's not a direct comparison. But Dexter Lawrence was this size, that size of a guy, right? And he moved cat quick. And that's Noah Clark. Not the same as Dexter Lawrence, obviously. But can he get to the point where he is a dang good elite 320-pound D-tackle that moves well? Yes. I mean, the guy does these freaky workouts and stuff. Very productive for a big D-tackle like that, too. He's just got to develop. Now, he's not in my projected too deep right now.
No, he's a redshirt. He's probably going to have to redshirt.
Yeah, right. But he's so freaky that if he comes in and gets with the program and accelerates and develops faster than we think, I could see him getting some reps next year because Travion likes to roll those guys in. Travion Robertson's going to do wonders for this guy,
too.
I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. I think the baby fat, the size, all that, he'll hone in those skills and get him right. And yeah, that was a big pickup. Noah Clark out of Durham, North Carolina. South Carolina struggles to land guys from the triangle, but they did here with this guy.
Yeah, this guy kind of does it all from a D tackle standpoint. He's kind of got that speed that we talked about with Aiden Harris, but he's also like, you see him just like, I don't know, the strength that you can see on this huddle, some of this film, like he just, you know, bullying these interior defense or offensive linemen for these open teams. But I mean, he can just get east west, chase running backs, quarterbacks down. And I just think, you know, I kind of agree. You know, I think once he gets into a college weight room program, kind of reshapes everything, he's got the frame to just be, you know, I think really, really good. And we'll see how early on that process takes. Sometimes it takes a redshirt season to have that type of progress. But, you know, maybe if he can get in early and get some of that, you know, into that weight room, nutrition program, things like that, get going early, maybe he's a guy that can get into the rotation early. Just because what JC mentioned, they like to rotate so much in that room that, you know, maybe the guys like Aiden and Noah can quickly get into that rotation.
Yeah, I agree with everything y'all said. The next one, I think it's Kosky Barnes. Is that right, Alex?
Kosky.
So Kosky Barnes, 6'2", 190 pounds, 138th ranked recruit in the country, four-star, Greensboro, North Carolina, another North Carolina kid. And I just say, like, take Shane for his word sometimes. He wanted to get North Carolina, and he picked a kid he wanted. This kid has just risen up rankings. And, Alex, when he committed, you and I both talked about the fact that even at wide receiver, he has that box-out mentality, right, where he's already – 6'2", he goes up and gets the ball. I actually think this is a kid that could play wide receiver at the college level, but he's going to start on the defensive side of the ball. But when you have a guy that can just block out the sun almost as a secondary defender, just fantastic get. JC, this is a Torian Gray special.
Oh, yeah. They identified him early. Very good length. Kind of was locked into South Carolina for a while. Didn't really have a bunch of offers, like headliners. Miami actually made a push for him at the end, but he stuck with the Gamecocks. But this is the type of guy Torian Gray loves. You watch his film, you watch his junior film, and you watch his senior stuff. It's legit. There's a reason why 24/7 Sports moved him up to like 138th in the country overall. Upside guy will need to develop, but the natural instincts there, the length, it's right up South Carolina's alley, a defensive back, and probably will end up being a more significant pickup than maybe we thought when he committed.
Yeah, absolutely. Alex?
Yeah, if you want to know what a Torian Gray cornerback looks like, I don't think you have to look much further than Kossie Barnes. He's a guy, 6'2", 190, long arm, seen him in person a few times and fits the mold perfectly. And guy that, you know, I think you see the ball skills on his film, especially from his junior season. He played a little bit of wide receiver, as Matt mentioned, and you see the ball skills there. Like, guys that could just be a playmaker too. And I see the Queen of the Cogs mentioned twitchy too. Like, that's what Kossie Barnes is. He's really twitchy and, you know, comes from a winning program too at Grimsley. They always talk about that. Shane Beaver talks about guys, you know, wants winners that win state championships. And matter of fact, you know, Grimsley and Weddington are playing each other tomorrow in the North Carolina semifinals. So that'll be three Gamecock commits playing each other tomorrow in Greensboro. But you know, with Barnes, I if there was an under the radar kind of recruit that's one of my favorites in this class, I think it's going to be him, just because I think he's got that upside, and maybe it's a year where, from a freshman standpoint, he gets the film going on special teams and things like that.
That's one of my favorites in this class, I think it's going to be him. So then we got a little background noise, but yeah. I want to hit these two guys together. Let's round out this offensive line class. You have four-star Zion Giles from Carver's Bay, and then you have Anthony Baxter, another kid from South Point. And when you look at Zion Giles, 6'4.5", 290 pounds, offensive tackle, and then Anthony Baxter, 6'3", 335 pounds, big old boy at offensive guard. Look, South Carolina has to get better at offensive line, and sometimes you see these, you know, humongous four-star, five-star guys, and Shane mentioned it today. Sometimes they don't pan out for whatever reason, but I do like the trio of offensive linemen. So, JC, let's start with you with Zion Giles, and then we'll go to Anthony Baxter and get over to you in a minute, Alex.
Well, Zion, yeah, first, I think first Carolina commit from Carver's Bay since Clifton Gathers, and Clifton actually signed with Georgia and then went to prep school and signed with Carolina. So, always good to go down to that part of the state and get a player. They got ballers. This guy came on the radar, and all of a sudden you looked up and he's got Alabama and all these people offered it. This film was really good. You could tell he's got the upside. I like him. There's a lot of different spots he could play. You know, there's some projecting him as a guard. I think he's a tackle all the way, probably a right tackle long term if we're talking NFL upside. But who knows? He may get to campus and the feet are so good. Where Darius Gray is a high floor guy, I think Zion's a high ceiling guy.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
He's got a lot going for him. And when you watch him on film, it's like, man, he's already good. But with development, college weight program, nutrition, all that, he's potentially great. Plays with a nasty streak, highly competitive guy. Everything you love about, small town South Carolina players. That's applicable to him, and the Gamecocks beat Clemson and everybody else in the country on him. I do think the final decision was head-to-head, so that's a good win in state against the old rival. But certainly I think that long-term, you know, that guy could be really, really, really good.
Yeah, and so then, JC, if you want to give your take on Baxter.
Oh, Anthony Baxter. Yeah, I mean, he was the first commit in the class. You know, he planted his flag really early. South Point player. He's a guy that's going to have to reshape, get in the weight room, all that good stuff. But what I like about him, he's very, very aggressive for a guy his size. Like, he loves football, man. And guys that love football that do have work to do, like a lot of high school offensive and defensive linemen to get back in shape, if they show that on film, like they're just out there, belly may be hanging out, pants may be coming down around their ass crack because they can't get a pair to fit them. But, boy, they're out there beating somebody in the face and they're fired up to be there. You know, those guys tend to pan out because they love it so much. They if they understand they have to put in the work, they'll put in the work. Good feet. I saw some defensive clips of him early in his South Point career, I think sophomore year, that kind of, you know, because you think, guy's 340 as a sophomore. Where is this journey going? You know, is it going to be 400? I don't know. But then I knew what it was all about, like with the athleticism and stuff. So, solid pickup. You know, I think he just has to, you know, like most offensive linemen, go in and develop. But he's got a lot going for him with his size, and then his nasty streak that he plays with.
Yeah. So, Alex, your take on those two offensive linemen rounded out.
Yeah, and with Baxter, it's the physicality that stands out, and kind of to JC's point, like, you know, if you have that to start your career, everything else is going to kind of figure itself out. And he's a guy that will, you know, once he continues to reshape and get everything in that, in order, like, he's a guy that, you know, year two, year three, maybe you're seeing him get up into the rotation. And, you know, I think that his physicality is something that's improved from junior to senior year, because I can't remember who he was going up against in a camp this summer, but it was highly ranked defensive lineman, and those two were going at it. And yeah, I think he's a guy that, you know, is going to bring that aggressiveness, you know, that physicality. And same thing with Giles. Like, you know, Giles, you know, from a versatility standpoint, he reminds me a little bit of Shed Surratt coming out of Gaffney last year. Guy that this year at South Carolina saw him start on the interior and at tackle. I do lean tackle for him with Giles. Like, I think he's got the speed to play right tackle. You know, I think, you know, maybe if he continues growing and continues all that, like, maybe he can slot into the interior. But, you know, coming in, you know, I think his versatility is what really stands out. And I can see him starting at that out of tackle.
Yeah, and I also want to just, like, add this little caveat. I do like offensive linemen in South Carolina and North Carolina that continue to kind of punch their weight class, because JC said it forever. South Carolina, North Carolina, that's D-line heaven, and they actually have to go against some guys that are pretty good. So when you have an offensive lineman separate themselves, it says a lot to me, and I think both those guys did. The next guy we're going to talk about is a kid that reclassed. It's Sequel Patterson. From Indian Land. I think he's criminally underrated at 230th in the country.
Sequel. It is Sequel. I called him
it is Sequel. I've heard first. Both. Okay. So
I called him Sequel for the first 9 months he was on the radar.
All right. So Sequel is the kid that, dude, I love that it reclassed. And I've been a big proponent of this. And JC and Alex have heard me get on my soapbox. If you're a skill player that's good enough to go, you know, SEC, Big Ten, whatever, go ahead and reclass, because you're not gaining anything in high school another year. You need to go compete against better players, get in a strength and conditioning program. This is the kid that I'm very excited about. So, JC, with Sequel, what are your thoughts? And we'll come to you, Alex.
Man, he's an electric playmaker with the ball in his hands. Is also another good all-around football player who could – play corner at a high level. There's some people like him as a corner. He was a top 20 national prospect in the class of 2027.
It's early stupid rankings. That he's ranked 230, JC. It's stupid.
Well, yeah, I've been guilty of that before when guys were classified, because it used to be kind of rare. Now, though, I think if you're going to say it's a long-term projection, maybe just keep him the same. I don't know. I agree. I don't know why he dropped. I mean, you know, whatever. So anyway, I mean, you know, you're ranking players or prospects. That's my question. But, you know, they dropped Jordan Gideron to 3 stars. I mean,
yeah,
took a whole star, right? You know, when he reclassified. Nevertheless, I think that was a big, significant pickup, because that guy, for the next cycle, I mean, everybody in the country was already wanted him, but wanted to come early. Indian Land High School, you know, probably one of the better prospects to come out from there in a while. So excited about seeing him. Is he a year one contributor? Possibly. You know, Donovan Murph got on the field and played well. You know, there's going to be a lot of good receivers, but I think Sequel could actually end up being maybe a little notch above some of the guys they signed in the last class, which was an excellent class. But I like where he's at with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, just a playmaker. That's the way you can describe him. I mean, he does it early on in his career, kind of did on both sides of the ball. Can, you know, got the ball instincts, can track the ball really well. But also, like, you know, he's got the physicality too. Like, he'll, you know, get a ball on a sweep or something like that, and he can make things happen yards after catch. So, kind of a do-it-all type of guy. You know, I'm interested to see what the impact he can make year one is. You know, because just as a wide receiver, him is a little bit loaded from a young standpoint, but guy has got the speed and somebody who's always stood out to me, even when he was a 2027 recruit. And you can see why he was ranked top 25 or so, whatever it was in the country. Like, he can go up and high point the ball really well and just do all the types of things that it just kind of has that it factor. I think there's a little bit of that with him, just has that it factor that when you're out there watching and you may not know who he is or, you know, don't know his number and things like that, he's instantly going to stand out to you.
So I will give a little caveat here. Alex started talking about SQL 2 years ago and he was like, I saw this kid at camp. Oh my God, he's 2027. We'll be able to talk about him for a while, but yeah, just absolute freak show. Excited for him. All right. Keenan Britt and KJ Johnson. Keenan Britt's probably gonna be a linebacker. KJ Johnson's going to be a DB. And then you have Caden Ramsey. So let's hit those three guys. I don't think it's fair to them that they're at the bottom of the class, but we got to get Justin Lyles in here from Sports Cat Value, and we got to let JC run. So, JC, you know, those three guys, Keenan, KJ, and Caden, what do you like about them?
Britt was an early commitment. Like him, his brother, KJ Britt, yep, was an all-SEC linebacker at Auburn, and I believe he's on the Miami Dolphins roster right now. Hell of a football player. Keenan's a really good football player as well. Sort of like Andrew Harris, reminds me of some of the linebackers that, you know, Clayton White's brought to South Carolina through the years. Maybe some of even like the guys that redshirted this year, like an AJ Holloway or Josh Smith, that type of guy. They all guys kind of in that category for me have come out of high school with good pass rushing ability. I think he has that. And he's a guy that committed early, shortly after Darren Usher took over as the director of player personnel. He had a previously existing relationship with him, and the kid was about to visit Oregon, and he committed. Florida had him on campus a couple of times, Billy Napier, and he ended up remaining firm the whole way. You know, KJ Johnson, you know, you kind of looked at KJ Johnson and Kosi Barnes kind of the same for a while, both of those longer, taller corners. Birmingham kids, sometimes they get overlooked by Alabama and Auburn, and they end up places like Mississippi State, which was his other school, and they're all SEC. Another Torian Gray type of recruit. You know, does he wow you as much on film as Barnes does? No. But is he a hell of a defensive back recruit? Absolutely. Another corner, has the hips to play the position. And then I love Caden Ramsey. I was in Columbia actually last time I saw Matt in person, and I talked to someone that had scouted him, and I was like, man, that guy's a stud, very elite. And another friend of mine that scouts the state, really familiar with high school ranks, says he reminds him of Mike Williams, who played at Clemson as a receiver. When you have 14 interceptions on class A ball,
yeah.
You know, number one, and I've said this many times, who in the hell is throwing that many passes towards Caden Ramsey at the class A level in South Carolina? I mean, 14 is a lot, dude. That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of picks. Yeah. It's like over one per game for a 6'5" guy. I mean, what kind of freak do you have back there? Another great football player. I would be surprised. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people probably want to compare him to Jared Cook. Jared Cook was a 4.3 guy in a straight line. I don't know that Ramsey's that fast. What I do know is, at the very least, he's Josh Simon. If he develops and all that. There's all these ifs. These are high school kids. But I love the upside there. He's one of my favorite players in the class from the state. And a great find by Sean Elliott and the Gamecock coaching staff.
Well, hey, Alex, before you give your answer, I want to confirm something. I want you guys to talk about this while we're talking about Ramsey. So you can maybe start with Ramsey if you want to, Alex. But Tilden Riley went to Vanderbilt. It seemed like when the Gamecocks found Caden Ramsey and decided to go all in, they moved on from Tilden Riley. So, look, Tilden Riley ended up a 4-star. Caden Ramsey's 3-star. Maybe it's one of those things you look back in a couple of years and say, wow, the Gamecocks got it right, or wow, facepalm for the Gamecocks.
Yeah, things moved pretty quickly to Caden Ramsey, kind of around this whole kind of recruitment from Tilden Riley to Caden Ramsey. Now, I think with him, like, I think his speed translates pretty well to the tight end position. Like, you know, he's listed as a wide receiver, but I think the speed translates better to tight end. And got us at 6'5". Like, obviously can track the ball, has ball instincts and things like that. I can see the Josh Simon thing, but I think he could be a red zone threat for South Carolina with some of the things he can, because I think he could be a matchup nightmare for a slot defender and things like that in the red zone. So really intriguing guy. You just want to see, how well it, early on he can get, acclimated to the college football level. And then kind of just what JC said on those other guys with KJ Johnson. Like, I think he's a guy that, it's just see what from a special team standpoint early on he can provide. And he's got the, I think, the hips and things like that for a cornerback. You can see it in his film. So, guys that you're, really interested to see. And then Keenan Britt, too. Like, he's a, that linebacker room is going to be, things stay status quo just from a roster standpoint. Like, they're going to have the, Fred Johnson, Justin Okwuokwo, and then those freshmen from this year that, redshirted this year. Like, it's going to be a pretty young room overall, and I think that's going to be something that helps. Keenan Britt, maybe he has a redshirt year or something like that to learn from a lot of those older guys in the room. But guy that I think has a potential high ceiling.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. And then Tristan Lewis, I'm looking on the bigspur.com. It doesn't have him as his NLI – or not NLI – National Letter of Intent signed yet. But I think Shane mentioned him today in the press conference, so we'll just assume that he is signed. I love quarterbacks that can play in the secondary. Go ahead, JC.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, he's got a thing tomorrow at Greenwood.
Yeah.
He's doing
– and I will be there.
You'll be there.
I'll be there.
Are you going to be at Dutch Fork tomorrow, Alex?
I don't know if I'll be at Dutch Fork, but I'm planning to be at South Point. South Florida.
There's a bad sign for the Gamecocks.
Well, JC, I heard that you were making the trek from Glenview to get over to Dutch Fork for the big announcement tomorrow.
I'm never leaving my house again after Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. No. Tristan Lewis, it's kind of funny. Like, once they found out Tamarian Watkins was going to Texas A&M, immediately they offered Lewis. And it's almost like they were like, we could get – who knows? Sometimes that doesn't work out, But I love high school quarterbacks in the secondary as well. It's worked out well for South Carolina through the years. And I think Tristan's got – I mean, I've watched him play quarterback. Good high school quarterback. I definitely think, though, that safety is where it's at for him. Another big, long, tall guy back there. So they're kind of going all in on that. But, I really like that kid. And, in-state players like that have that kind of potential, a lot of times they work out pretty well.
Well, the last Greenwood guy I can remember, JC, was DJ Swearinger, and we liked him at safety. So,
DJ Swearinger. Kelsey Quarles was another guy.
Yeah, right there. Kelsey, and then Sam Montgomery, too. Don't forget old Sam.
Sam Montgomery was in that one. Yeah, that guy was funny. He was hilarious. Carolina did have
Sam Caleb. Sam played on my brother's AAU basketball team. Crazy kid.
Sam Montgomery and Lateek Townsend were two legendary recruits from that period. Those guys, they're different birds, man.
Dude, if there was social media back then, they would have been absolute trips.
I would watch the Sam Montgomery live stream, and if there was a Sam Montgomery and Lateek Townsend show, there's no question. Dude, JC, I mean, they were the funniest guys I'd ever talked to.
A WWE tag team championship with those two, it'd be legendary.
I love those guys, man.
All right. Well, JC, before we let you get out of here, we do have Landon Duckworth, a lot of drama today. And then we have Julian Walker, a lot of drama this entire year. That I think is Gamecock fan theory, but I'll go ahead and start. I think Walker's thinking about it. I think he has to make a decision. I think that it's big that he didn't go ahead and reaffirm his commitment to Michigan after, but we see North Carolina's in the mix. And then with Landon Duckworth, well, the Lane train seems like it's on the tracks. So I'll let you go, JC, and then Alex, whatever you want to add.
Yeah, there's a lot of conflicting information out there about Duckworth. I believe, what the Duckworth camp is telling some is that the LSU thing is just a rumor. But there's smoke, a lot of smoke on the LSU end of things. If he flips, I said earlier today on the show, I don't blame him. This would be the third offensive coordinator here. There's not one in place. LSU's closer to home. It's a coach you've had a relationship with in Lane Kiffin because he recruited him at Ole Miss. There was some interest in LSU because they visited there when Brian Kelly was the coach. So I just don't know that it's definite that he is. You know, yeah. I think this thing's maybe going back and forth. You know, if you're Carolina, just from a numbers standpoint at quarterback, I think you want him here soon, pronto. So I don't know. I feel like better about them holding on to him now than maybe I did, but you just never know. Most of the time where there's smoke, there's fire. And if there's a lot of denial going on, you know, like the stupid Jared Curtis thing. Jared Curtis.
Well, I heard you talk about today, like Jared Curtis.
Because his agent, he didn't get to tell his agent. I mean, who is your agent? Jerry Maguire? I mean, you know, Bob
Sugar. Show me the money.
Did you not tell Bob Sugar? Are you sad? Is Bob Sugar sad? I mean, come on, you're in high school, dude. So what? It leaked. You're demanding to start right away in $1 million, okay? It's a big boy demand. Welcome to a big boy world. It's a shame. No, it's not a shame. If you're a celebrity and they report something factual, they're not going to sit there and, you know, they may deny it and lie, which is what most adults do. But they're not going to say, it's very sad. Yeah, I mean, you lose your ability to have your moment, in my opinion, when you want $1 million in a starting job. Okay, and that's your demand. Okay, so that's my little soapbox speech there. However, you know, with Duckworth, usually when there's denial, there's usually a lot of validity to it.
JC, one thing I want to get your take on this. Like, you've been around more of these than me, and Alex, you know, you too. But smoke came out last night, and then there was the, oh, no, it's fine. That's what he's telling Carolina. But the fact that smoke happened last night and there's still no decision tells me this is an ongoing negotiation of some sort.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Jordan Birch ultimately left the program. You know, not a surprise, but he eventually signed. I mean, and everybody said there wasn't any drama. I mean, there wasn't as much as you think behind the scenes. That said, to me, these things tend to go back and forth. I mean, Nick Harbor woke up signing day, 7 a.m. He's coming to Carolina, 9 a.m. He's going to Oregon, you know, I mean, he's never been happier. It's coming back next year, you know? So, I mean, a lot of times this kind of thing happens. But, you know, with Julian Walker, Carolina's still working him. Just people have to keep in mind, even though he's at Dutch Fork, his kind of home base for his family is in Chicago, you know? And so, Michigan is more, to me, is more the home team. Now, if he goes to North Carolina, that's going to really suck because that's not. You know, and there was some talk about that earlier today. Carolina's done a good job recruiting Julian behind the scenes, and his dad's done a good job helping coach the D-line, and he's a good, valuable member of the staff. So maybe there's a chance there to flip the guy from Dutch Fork, and he's a heck of a DN prospect as well.
All right, Alex, anything to add to that, or should we go ahead and take our sponsor break and get Justin in here and let JC – go enjoy that 20-degree Chicago night.
Yeah,
try nine, brother. Nine.
Yeah, I can see it being still Michigan, South Carolina. Like, you know, but you just never say never these days just because it can get crazy out there, but still kind of feel that way.
Yeah, well, JC, man, thank you so much for hopping on. Whenever we get that bat signal, we're going to make sure we get you here. And look, no one – no offense to Alex, Hale, Whittle, Tony, anybody. Nobody's covered this longer than JC and knows the ins and outs of it like him. So, JC, appreciate you coming on, my friend.
Hey, thanks, guys. Sorry my phone kept going off in the middle of the thing. I tried to put it – I've got fat fingers. All right, folks, good show. Good to see you, Alex. Great work, as always, to both of you. And it's always a pleasure popping in on late night. We'll holla soon.
All right, see you, JC. All right, well, let's go ahead and hear from our sponsors, and we'll get Justin Lyles, who's been patiently waiting from Sports Cap Value, in here right after that to go over conference championship weekend.
Morning, Carl. Usual?
Yeah.
Your oldest was in here the other day. Said the two of you took a trip down to my neck of the woods. How'd that go?
You might as well give me one of those Carolina cars while you're at it.
I knew I liked that one.
Yeah.
There you go, my friend.
Thanks.
Hey, Carl.
Congratulations.
See you tomorrow, Freddy.
You bet.
J.C. Sherbert here. Had a brilliant idea that some good friends of mine in Florence have told me about. Next time you're having a wedding or an event or anytime you got to feed a bunch of people, talk to my friends over at Flavortown Eats and Events. That's right. It's a food truck slash trailer. Prepares the food fresh on site right there for you. No hassle. It's absolutely delicious. They'll come out, turnkey solution to feed the masses at your event. Go to their website right now, FlavortownFlow.com. That's FlavortownFlow.com. They have all the contact information you need, and they are a proud sponsor of the Late Night Gamecock Show and the Chiefs Sports Network.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Go Gamecocks!
This is the Late Night Gamecock Show with the pride of Hampton County, Alex Jones. And with the king of late night, Matt Anderson. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome back into Late Night Gamecock Show. My name is Matt Anderson, and joining me as always is Alex Jones of TheBigSpur.com. I want to thank JC Sherbert for being on the show tonight. We love when you get JC. I also want to give a quick shout out before we bring Justin here to Jay Diz in the chat box. And he says, as a Big Spur member, thanks for the info, even if it's not good news. Thanks for the hard work during a horrible season. Jaden, you have no idea how much that means to me and Alex because, man, these shows are not a hell of a lot of fun. It's like this. So thank you for that. We always want to be here for you, and we'll be here good, bad, rain, shine, no matter what. But Justin Lyles from SportsScoutValue.com has been waiting patiently. Let's bring Justin in, Alex. Justin, good to see you, man.
Hey, good to see y'all. It's been a long season, right?
It has. And hopefully we gave you enough time where, you know, the wife put the kids to bed. You just got to hang out and eat Airheads, eat the rest of that Halloween candy. But, man, we're at conference championship week. We're going to talk all about it. But, Justin, you know, we talked on Sunday night about how you did this past week. You did fantastic like you always do. I just encourage anybody that's into betting, go to sportscoutvalue.com. Justin's had a hell of a season. It's going to continue into college football championship week. So I did tell Justin this earlier. So Justin, if you have lines that I don't have, feel free to tell us. But this week is going to be a little bit different. We're not starting with what Justin likes. Not at all. Me and Alex are going to go first. We're going to give our picks. And then Justin's going to tell us his leans after. I should say that I don't even want to bring up the head-to-head. I think Alex has a 4-game lead on me. He went 4-1 last week. I went 2-3. So I'm now down 6 games. Alex and I do have a bet right now that we're going to, starting with championship week through bowl season, whoever has a better record has to buy the other one D's wings, and they can get whatever they want. Nice. So. Me and Alex have that bet, so And actually, we might just say, hey, you know, we'll maybe try and do it on a Gamecock basketball game. We'll go to D's Wings before the game, and you guys can join us. But that'll be a lot of fun. So, Justin, quick takes. You don't have to give us too much. How do you like the championship matchups this week? Are there any good games that you're excited about?
Yeah, there is. Obviously, Georgia, Bama, we probably may talk about that depending on what y'all want to pick. So I won't dive too much into that. But obviously, Georgia, Bama, kind of want to see how Indiana stacks again against Ohio State. And then maybe I think there's a lot really riding on the storyline with BYU and Texas Tech. Yeah. You know, how that affects the Group of Five and other teams kind of looking from the outside in on what's going to shake out come after Saturday night's games. And then obviously I'm really looking forward to Virginia and Duke. Not really. But.
It's the marquee matchup of the weekend. Not number one versus number two, not number three versus number nine. It's 7-5 versus 7-2 Virginia.
There you go.
I will say on the BYU Texas Tech game, Texas Tech getting 12.5 seems like a lot of points for this.
Well, you can make your pick here in a second, Mr. Alex Jones.
Oh, I thought we were going ahead. Okay.
He was getting excited. I understand.
He was.
Don't steal that.
So I'm going to start Friday night. So, Alex, you might not look at these Friday night games, but I've done my research. So Friday night in the Sun Belt Championship, we have Troy versus James Madison. James Madison is 25 in the college football playoffs, so a top 25 team. James Madison is favored by 23.5, over under of 47.5. Alex, would you like for me to go first, or are you going to go first tonight?
You go.
I am going to take the under 47.5. I know you guys like overs, and this is a blind as hell bet, but I didn't like 23.5 because James Madison is probably pretty good. So I'll take under 47.5. I'm going to say James Madison 30-10.
With this game, I'm going James Madison covering the 23.5. I think they're going to try to put up some points in this one. I think they're going to cover that.
Question is, can James Madison beat the total by themselves? That's the question. I like the over here, 47.5. Sorry, Matt.
No, it's okay. It's okay, Justin. I zig when the expert zag. That's how I lose all my money. It's fine.
You might be right.
All right, so we got me with the under 47.5. We got Alex with James Madison minus 23.5. And then we have Justin with the over 47.5. That is how they draw up live YouTube shows, my friends. That's three right. Different ways. So pick your favorite personality there. Then on Friday night, 8:00 ABC, I think this is actually gonna be a really, really good game. You have North Texas 11-1, Tulane 10-2. North Texas is 24 in the country. Tulane's 20th. North Texas is favored by 2.5, an over-under of 66.5, because I went first last time. Alex Jones, the floor is yours.
Under 66.5.
Ooh. I'm going to take Tulane plus the 2.5, and I would take Tulane money line.
This is a stay-away game for me. I was going through this, Justin. Oh, yeah. But if I had to pick – I would lean Tulane here. It's a lot. Both coaches taking head coaching jobs elsewhere, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of plays into factor a lot of the games and playoff games. You know, as I try to figure out what sides to bet on for the weekend and going forward for the playoffs. So to me, it's stay away. But if I had to lean, I'd lean Tulane.
Yeah, so I'll take that as a win. Alex, don't even watch the game. I got Tulane plus 2.5. It's just weird. Like, I think, you know what, for programs like Tulane, North Texas, it's due. Their coaches are doing a great job. They deserve new head coaching jobs, and that's why you take a North Texas or a Tulane job. So good job for both those head coaches. All right, we're moving on to Saturday, 12 p.m., ABC, number 11, BYU. Number 4, Texas Tech. This is a rematch. And this game will not be played at Texas Tech this week. And I thought BYU had some chances. Texas Tech just went kind of just balls to the wall and just kind of blitzkrieged them. I like BYU plus the 12.5 in this one.
Well, that's what I was going to say, but you stole it. So I'll go a different route. Let's see, what's the total? The total's 49.5. I'll go over on that. I think both these teams are going to put some points up.
I'll take the over 49.5. That's easy.
And in this case, I have BYU as well. I mean, they got smacked around the first game. I don't know that Texas Tech can cover two times in one season. Do I expect maybe a potential upset here? Yes. I like BYU. The plus 12.5, and maybe sprinkle a little bit on the money line.
Ooh, saucy. I like that too. Alex, what did you say on this one?
I did the over, which was 49.5.
49.5, yeah. Okay. Like that. Well, right out for this game, get your popcorn ready. You know, maybe start smoking some meats earlier in the day at 4 o'clock on ABC. You have number 3, Georgia. Versus number 9, Alabama. The game is going to be in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. I know all three of us were there to start the season. We hoped we'd be back in conference championship week. It wasn't meant to be. Georgia is a 2.5-point favorite, and the over-under is 47.5. And I'm looking at ESPN. So, Justin, like I said, if you have different numbers, make sure everyone shops. But, gosh, I guess I got to go first here. See, this is hard because in my preseason bowl predictions, I said Alabama would win the SEC championship and go to the college football playoff. So they don't necessarily have to win this game to go to the college football playoff. But also, Justin told me he's not betting against Georgia the rest of the season. That was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. If it was Alabama plus 3.5, I might take that, but I want to be brave, but I'm going to be a loser. I'm going to take Georgia minus 2.5 and just say that in Alabama. Oh, golly. Yeah, Georgia minus 2.5, whatever. I'm taking it. Alex?
Alabama 2.5.
Plus 2.5.
Yeah.
So you'd sprinkle the money line too.
Yes.
Okay.
Wow, Alex seems confident there. I'm starting a little bit worried. That was a quick answer, so I'm a little worried now. I got the line right at 2.5 right now. Over-under is 47.5 currently what I'm looking at. Yeah, I love Georgia in this spot, 2.5. I expect you'll see this line maybe increase a little bit as you'll see some late money come in on Georgia, and maybe you'll see some – that'll probably want to – cause folks to jump on Alabama last minute, maybe your amateur bettors. So, but I like Georgia in this spot, and I like them to go to the national championship, play Ohio State for what it's worth.
Well, Justin, you're not very good at not burying the lead because the next game is Indiana and Ohio State. This Ohio State team just looks pretty damn good to me. Indiana, like you guys all know, I've said, like, I still don't believe in them, and that might be pie on my face, but Ohio State minus 4, over under, I see it's 47.5. Alex Jones of thebigspur.com, what is your take on this game?
Ohio State 4.5, and they're going to cover that.
Okay, well, I'll give you the minus 4 because that's what I see right now.
Okay, yeah, 4.
Man, you know what I like, actually? I do like Ohio State to cover this. I think they're going to win the game. I don't – the 4 number doesn't bother me. The 4.5 number doesn't bother me. I think it's going to be under 47.5. Mm-hmm. I think Ohio State wins this game something like 21-10.
That's what I think. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Indiana really hasn't been slowed down on offense all year. I know their schedule's – somewhat weak overall, but they don't really control that. They've looked really explosive on offense, but Ohio State has looked good on both sides of the ball, and I think they're better this year than they were last year. So this will probably – I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody this will probably be my max play with Ohio State covering here. I think this is a blowout, to be honest with you. And I could be wrong. I've been betting against Indiana all year, but I really like Ohio State in this spot.
Well, you know what I love, Justin? I love a sports capper that sticks to their guns and say, look, there might be some bad beats out there, but I feel very confident. And look, I'm right there with you. I might be a sucker as well, but if I bet, and let's just say I wanted to bet the mortgage, I would probably bet it on Ohio State minus -4. One quick question I do have on this game, Justin. It's not often we get a number one versus number two in the country. What kind of line movement do you expect in this game, if any?
I thought, you know, honestly, when I first saw the line, I thought it was a little too low. I was going to expect Ohio State to be minus -7.
Seven and a half is what I expected.
Yeah, when it came out. I could see that rising to that come kickoff Saturday. I just don't see it going the other way towards Indiana. So I'll see it continue to grow. So if you want to get on it now, and get the points, do it now.
Yeah, and then we already talked about this earlier. The game of the week is 7-5 Duke versus 10-2 Virginia. Virginia is number 17 in the country. Duke is not ranked, but this game will be in Charlotte, North Carolina. So, Justin, you're not too far away. Alex, you're not too far away. You can probably get tickets for $5 if you want to see this matchup of traditional juggernauts. But Virginia is favored by 3.5. The over-under is 57.5. And this is a game where I would lean the over 57.5 just because I don't know how good these teams are on defense. But I think that two teams that aren't used to being in the championship game, there might be some nerves. But I'm actually going to take Duke plus the 3.5. I'm not sold on Virginia. Give me that hook. Alex?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I'd lean too. I'll go with the what you were saying there on the total points, like 57.5. I'll go under. Like I don't know what these defenses can do there. And first of all, I just want to say about this matchup, like I want to know, does anybody out there in the preseason that predicted a Duke versus Virginia ACC championship game? Like, yeah, it's just to see if there's anybody like that. But yeah, I agree with what you said, Matt. But I'll take the under 57.5.
Can we let Duke into the playoff if they win? Like somehow. Just to see how that, just so they can kill the TV ratings, just because.
Well, Justin, you know the Miami AD came out and said we have to change these tiebreakers; these are stupid.
This line wise, this is a stay away from me. I just don't. I mean, yeah. I know Duke can score. I know Virginia can score. When I had this on my, you know, look aheads. I like the over here too. I think it's a shootout. Duke's been putting up points all year, and so has Virginia. And I don't think they're going to stop now. So I look forward to them scoring points and in the background seeing the Carolina blue seats. So, because they want to be there.
Yeah. So I didn't mention that you probably get seats for $5 for this game. Actually, tickets are $38.
Oh, wow.
Just keep holding out. They will go down. Indiana, Ohio State, the get in the door price is $5.39. And the Georgia Alabama game 247, BYU Texas 95, North Texas Tulane in New Orleans. If you've been looking for a reason to go to New Orleans, just tell your wife you're going to the game. It's only gonna be $25. You can get in. You can have a good weekend. And then the Troy James Madison game is $67. So, Justin, I know you're gonna be locked in to college football championship Saturday. But I did want to get your take on maybe some NFL games, anything you're leaning, thinking. This is now getting to the point where these NFL teams have to put up or shut up to get to the playoffs in their own right.
Yeah, I mean, starting with the game tomorrow, obviously a good game on Thursday night, Detroit hosting Dallas, two good fan bases. Detroit's been playing pretty well. I know they lost over Thanksgiving. Dallas has been hot lately. But I'm liking Detroit in this spot, laying the points. You're going to see a lot of money go on Dallas just because Dallas is a, you know, well-known
America's team.
Right, America's team. But I like Detroit coming off a loss in this spot against a hot team. Also, I like Indianapolis to respond against Jacksonville. They've kind of been on a skid a little bit. And then I think Tampa's going to respond against New Orleans. And then there was one other I was looking at. Who was it? Green Bay laying the points against Chicago. Chicago's won a bunch of games. They're leading the North. But watch out against Green Bay. I like Green Bay. That might be my pick of the week in the NFL.
So I told you guys I was going to lay the mortgage on Ohio State. I'm actually going to lay the mortgage on a against the spread parlay. You told me to do that, right, Justin? Bet parlays every time.
Yeah, like a 10-leg.
Yeah. I'm going to take all of it, and then, like, you won't see me next week. I'll be in the Caribbean.
We can buy players to help this football team with your winnings.
Yeah. I don't need to do that. I'll throw them 20,000, let them get it to somebody. Another D3 offensive lineman, that should do the trick. But
there you go.
Justin, man, we always appreciate you. Tell the folks where they can find you.
Yes, sportscatvalue.com, where we run our daily plays. You go in, you subscribe, and get our picks daily, all the major sports. Obviously, heading into the back end of college football and NFL, making our way towards the Super Bowl, and college basketball and NBA is daily. So we're off to the runs, and we're going hard and every day. So appreciate it.
Well, I love it, man. Justin, have a great rest of the week. We're not going to have a show on Sunday, everybody. Just a reminder, there's no football to talk about, unfortunately. But stay tuned, because we might have some programming notes here going forward. Alex, do you have any parting words before we get out of here tonight?
Yeah, really good show tonight with going over the whole signing class, and obviously still some see what happens tomorrow from a signing class standpoint. But really appreciate everybody being here tonight. Seemed like a really good crowd. Chat box was pretty active again tonight. So a really good show tonight.
Well, appreciate it. And as always, we thank all of you for joining us tonight. When you hang out with us, you give us your time. It's the most valuable thing you have. And we really appreciate it. If we can ever do anything for you guys, please just let us know. We're here for all of y'all. But everyone, have a great rest of signing day. I don't think you're going to see any surprises after 9:23 p.m., but stay tuned tomorrow. There might be some fireworks. So for myself, Matt Anderson, the Late Night Gamecock, and Alex Jones of thebigspur.com, wish you the absolute best rest of the week. Talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.